wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day evening as we come together to sing praises unto God, to give back a portion of that in which He has allowed us to prosper, to partake of the communion, and to pray, and also to hear His word being proclaimed. On last Sunday evening, we went through some important questions. And as we went through these questions, we gave you answers from the Word of God. The first question you see there, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? That was a question asked by Pharaoh, Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. We know and understand who God is by reading His Word. Pharaoh heard who God was. From the children of Israel, from Moses, but still elected to disobey. Today, we should obey, and we should be willingly obey until the day that we die. Pilate asked, what is truth? From John chapter 18, verse 38. Jesus committed no sin, and he still was delivered over to the determinate council. It was the will of God, and so therefore it did happen, and he was crucified. We find that the Ethiopian eunuch asked the question, see, here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they both went down into the water, and he was baptized. They both came out of the water, and he went away rejoicing. The Philippian jailer, when the chains were loosed on the prisoners, the doors were opened, he woke up after the great earthquake and saw that all was there, and he wanted to kill himself, and he was encouraged not to, and he asked that question, what must I do to be saved? That is a great question, a question that many ask today, many answers are given. But the answer is, be baptized for the remission of sins. There are more questions that we went over. Does heaven and hell exist? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. There is a place that is eternal, a place that is called heaven, a place that has been prepared for those that are prepared, a place that is called hell, a place that was prepared for Satan and his angels. And so heaven and hell, they do exist. Is there only one true church? That's what the Bible says, so that's what we believe. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4, there is one body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, he is the head of the church, which is the body, or the head of the body, which is the church, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the builder of the church. Find in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, do you have to be a member of the church to be saved? Once you are saved, you are added to the church, according to Acts 2:47. Praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church, or adds to the church daily, such as should be saved. And we find, do I have to go to church services? Do I have to go to church services? They are so boring. I don't like the people there. The preacher always says things that get on my nerves. Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, Let us provoke one another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as our manner of some is, but exhort one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. More. Do I have to obey the gospel? If you don't, hell would be your home. Amen. Jesus is coming back with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on those that do not obey the gospel and do not believe and obey the gospel. So yes, I would suggest that you do obey the gospel. Is baptism essential to salvation? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Baptism still saves. Water saved those when they got into the ark. They rose above the waters. Water still saves us. We do not rise above it, but we are immersed in it and we'll rise to come out of it to walk a newness of life. So baptism still saves, not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but to show an answer of a good conscience toward God. And that is what we need to understand. Baptism still saves. and is Jesus the Son of God? In Matthew chapter 16, the verses 17, the answer was asked to them by Jesus Christ, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon said, "You art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We still need to believe that on this day. It was the Bible, the inspired word of God. I can believe that, I can believe this, but what you're saying makes no sense. The Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So is the Bible the inspired word of God? Yes. It is not what he says, she says, nor opinions, nor what I feel. It is what thus said the Lord, what we need to believe in. Is there a God? Is there a God? This, again, this is a question that sometimes is sort of hard to answer because men are walking around with their eyes closed. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Without God, these things would not have been created. So we need to believe that there is a God and that he is a God that created you and created me. He's a God that's going to judge us by his word in the very end. The most important question. The most important question. After all of those, you would say those are important questions right there. I have to select one of those and say those are, this is it. No, that's it. No, this one right here. Well, let me suggest to you this evening, am I honest? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Am I honest? I've been here almost 5 years now. I remember the day when a man asked me, he said, I remember when you were not like you are now. You didn't speak the way you're speaking. You wasn't quick to hang up on me when I would call the radio station. And I said, I remember the day when I thought you was honest. See, we have some dishonest people. We run up and get dishonest people, those people that what? Those people that do not believe that there is a God. What can we say? When those people that do not believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, what can we say? When they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, what can we say? When they believe that baptism is not essential to salvation, what can we say? When they do not obey the gospel, what can we say? When they do not, think to coming to worship service is important, what can we say? What about when they do not, think that they have to be a member of the church in order to be saved? What can we say? Is there only one true church? When they say that there's not, what can we say? Does heaven and hell exist? I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. I believe that we're going to be able to live here on this earth forever. What can we say? When they ask the question, what must I do to be saved? And we tell them to repent and be baptized. And they say, is there some other way? What can we do? When they can look in the scriptures and see that the Ethiopian says, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And we tell them, if they believe with all their heart, they may. And they say, well, I believe, but I think that that's all. What can we say? And when it's true that Jesus Christ committed no sin, but yet men believe that he did, what can we say? And who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? When people do not believe that he's the great I am, what can we say? What can we say? Do we still, just talk to them like nothing is wrong? Do we still, participate in the things in which they want to participate in and allow them to come in and teach us the garbage that they want to teach us, what they call some other gospel, which the Bible said there's no other gospel but yet one? Can we say, we ask those individuals, are you honest? And we come to the conclusion that they're not honest. What do we do? What do we do? May I suggest to you on this evening that we leave those people alone. We leave those people to themselves. And when that day comes, when that day comes and they find that they need God, that they need us to pray for them, then we go back and we ask them all those questions again and see what answers they give. But let's look at some other things tonight as we think about the most important question. It's test time. We don't like tests, do we? It's an open book test. You're going to be able to find answers in the scriptures. But again, that may be hard sometimes. I always thought that was the worst type of test, is an open book test, you know, because you don't know what to study. May I suggest that you study the whole book? Drill sergeant, you say it would behoove you to write this down. You don't have to write this down this evening. You're going to be able to take the material home with you. But let's think about something from the book of Psalm 119, verse 24 and verse 159. We could stay right here in this book all evening and look at this question here. What am I doing with the truth I already have? Now, I could ask you that, and you don't have to go to the book of Psalm. You can look anywhere. I could ask you that question. You may not even give me a Bible verse. Now, what are you doing with the truth that you already have? Or are you sharing it with someone? Have you prayed about the truth? Or have you been steadfast in the truth? Have you done those things? See, there are different answers that would be given. But let's see what the psalmist says here in Psalm 119. And the verse is 24. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Do you delight in the testimonies of the truth? The testimonies of God's word? Or are you delightful in them? Are you happy to hear them? Are you happy to serve God in a manner that He's pleased in? Do He look down and say, that is one of my servants there? I'm so glad that he or she decided to put my son on through baptism. I'm so glad that they have looked in the Word and decided to obey the Word and follow all of my commandments. Look at verse 159. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. Consider how I love your precepts. Do we love the precepts of God? Oh, Lord, I can better handle this word here, but that word there, I don't know about that. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. I don't believe that I can say I love your word right here because it's going to make me change my ways. If your ways need to be changed, by all means, change them. Start loving the word of God. Grow to love the word of God. Why? Because God first loved us. He gave His Son that you and I may be able to live. We need to love His Word. Amen. We need to continue to live in it. Amen. Am I open-minded or is my mind made up? You know, we run into those individuals all the time. There's nothing you can say or do. I'm going to listen to you, but there's nothing you can say or do that's going to make me change my mind. Why am I talking to you? Why are you even here talking to me? I remember studying with two different individuals over on the other side, and one said, you know, Brother Melvin, you spend a lot of time with me. I want to know why. I'm already saved. How were you saved? I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I believed in His Word. Why were you baptized? Well, it wasn't for salvation. That's why I'm spending time with you. See, you come into a class with this ideal that I'm right and nothing you can say is going to make me change the way I feel. I'm going to sit here with you for a little while, but then there's going to be that time where the question is asked, why are you spending all this time with me? Why are you not spending time with someone else? Because you, my friend, need the Word of God. See, I thank Brother Pack, Sister Linda, when we first moved here, and Brother Wright, Larry Wright, that is, he came to do a gospel meeting and we got that phone call. We got this man that wanted to study God's Word. We went up there in front of Darrell's Tile Shop. Darrell, thank you for letting us use your property there to study God's Word right there in front of the shop. Had a good time. That same individual, he would call from time to time and ask questions. And when you give him the answers to the questions from God's Word, he say, I can't do that. And the reason he can't do it is because he is closed-minded. He do not want to go and search the Scriptures, the things that the Old Testament talk about, and then he would come in to show himself approved in the New Testament to study God's Word to understand that truth cannot be compromised. So I ask you this evening, are you open-minded? Is your mind made up? Are you willing to believe in God's word and to be obedient unto what it says? Don't take man's word for it. Go back and search it for yourself to make sure it is true. And then when you find that it is true, apply it to your lives. That is what we need to do. But many people will not do those things. Will I examine the evidence or be guided by prejudice? Will I examine the evidence? You know, some things need to be examined through God's word. When we hear the truth, what are we going to do? In Acts chapter 26 in the verse is 26. Acts 26 in the verse is 26. We'll start with verse 24. And as he was saying these things, in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul," I'm going to say it in a quiet voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learnings is driving you out of your mind." What do we tell people when they come to us with saying things that we do not agree with, because, again, our minds are already made up? We really don't love the truth. What do we say? "Man, you must be crazy." That's basically what Festus was saying to Paul right there. "You're out of your mind. What did you get this from?" He said, "All this learning, it has driven you crazy." But Paul said, "I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus. But I'm speaking true and rational words." True and rational words, he says in verse 26. "For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly, for I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner." And he says, King Agrippa, "Do you believe the prophets? I know you believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time, would you persuade me to become a Christian?" See, we have so many people that are prejudiced against us for being Christians. You know, not even considering race, color, or creed. Just prejudiced against us because we're standing up for the truth. Because we are considered to be an elite group. Because we have put Christ on. We have been justified. We have been sanctified, set apart from the world. And people don't like that. And when we come to talk to them about the truth, that they have the same attitude as Festus in asking us, "You must be crazy. You must be out of your mind. You need to come out of that book." Well, by this book is the only way that we're going to understand salvation. By this book is the only way that we're going to understand God, the mind of God, and what God desires for us to do. It is by this book, so we need to stay in this book. How are you doing so far on the test? You remember when they used to say, "Pass your paper over, let your neighbor grade it"? Y'all remember those days? I remember being on the firing line, and there we were. We were shooting at these targets, and your batter buddy, he was grading you. You want me to tell you how honest some people are? Some people failed. Why? Because that man wasn't going to cheat for him. See, the test that we take standing before God is a test that we cannot cheat. We cannot cheat on this test because it is a pass or fail thing. And God is looking at everything we do. And then even we are looking at the lives of other people, and we're telling them what they're doing wrong. And as we see their lives and we know that people believe in God, but yet they don't want to obey Him, what seems to be the problem? What seems to be the problem? There is one. And the problem is people have already formulated in their minds what they think that God won't. They're thinking these things. And as they think these things, they're thinking all wrong. So again, the king says, you have almost persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. A servant of God a man that was dedicated to trusting in God and sharing His word with others. All who hear me this day might become such as I am. You know, that's a great way to be. You know, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Are we willing today to imitate what we find in the writings of Paul, which leads to a life that God is pleased with? Next question. With what do I compare myself? God's standard of others. God's standard of others. You know, when we think about God's standards, His standards are where? His standards are way up here. Man's standards are so low. I remember a man saying, you know, the preacher that preached behind that pulpit, you know, he had set the bar. What bar did he set? If he preached God's word, he only did what he was supposed to do. So you men that are here in the congregation that stand up to preach God's word, do not ever, ever, ever measure your ability with no one else's. It is not by man's standard that we preach God's word. It is by the ability that we have, and we stand and we proclaim God's word because this is what God wants us to do. And as we do those things again, we're going to come up against people that say, you know, that man right there, he has a good idea. That man says that we should be able to do these things right here, and the things that we're doing, that these things are things that's going to allow us to get into heaven. Man's standards are very, very low. Again, I just want you to realize that. Look at verse 27. And when they had, in Acts chapter 5, verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in His name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings. Whose teachings are they using here? The teachings of Christ. The teachings of God, which again, man's standard has so corrupted God's word, the perverted gospel, that man can be saved any way, that anybody can marry anybody, this, that, and the other, all sorts of things. But when it comes down to the teaching of God, people do not want to hear the truth. And he says in verse 28, saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in His name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. We must obey God rather than man. So when someone tells you to quit preaching the truth, what are you going to do? Keep preaching it. And when they say, did I not tell you to quit that? What are you going to do? Keep preaching it. We're going to throw you in jail. Keep preaching it. We're going to string you up. Keep preaching it. Until your last breath, keep preaching it. Are you willing to do that? If you're not willing to do that, you're in the wrong place. You have the wrong idea about what you can do and what you can't do with God's word. It is, the Bible says, a reward for those that are faithful unto death. I will give thee a crown of life. Be faithful unto death. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Are you willing this evening to be faithful? With all that has been said, I want you to consider this verse here in 2 Timothy, actually, not 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Consider these words, and as you listen to them, understand that the God that we serve, He's a loving God. He's pleased with men that would do the things that are right. And when we are faced with troubles, when we're faced with that man that says, or that woman that says, the truth is not what we really want to hear, keep preaching it, keep teaching it. He says in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 4, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. You know, as we think about that, I want you to think about how many preachers that you have known and how many preachers that have left the place in which they were preaching because people did not like what they were hearing. They did not like the truth. They did not want to accept the truth. They did not want to apply the truth. So therefore, they found someone that would compromise God's word. If you want to live in sin, they would not preach against sin. If you wanted to do things that no one has ever thought of that the church would be participating in, if you wanted to do those things, they would let you do those things because they want to be like the world. Praise dancing, they'll let you do that. You want to have a choir, they'll let you do that. You don't want to hear the truth, they won't preach you the truth. Hey, won't you? Let's just talk about love. Next month, let's talk about love. Let's not say anything about sin next month. You know, I want to ask you this. Can we talk about heaven if we don't talk about hell? Can we talk about being good if you don't talk about being bad? Because that's the question little children ask. You know, you're always telling them to be good, be good. Mom and Daddy, why are you always telling me to be good? Because you're bad. What's bad? You don't have to explain to them, do you? They know exactly what bad is. So that's why when we talk about heaven, we talk about hell, we talk about good, we talk about evil. That is why. We talk about the truth. We have to talk about those false teachers because they're teaching things that God is not pleased with. So again, the test. Let's run through it real quick. What am I doing with the truth I already have? You can answer that question in your mind. What am I doing with it? What am I doing with it? Am I open-minded or has my mind been made up? Think about it. Think about it. It's a great question, isn't it? Nothing you can do to change my mind. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. All right, want to jump? Jump. I tried. Will I examine the evidence or be guided by prejudice? You know, a lot of times the influence of other people has hurt a lot of people, has caused a lot of people not to get into paradise, but to go into torment because they're prejudiced. They've been guided by that. You know, my mom and dad were this way, so therefore I'm going to be the same way. And I don't care about what you say. I don't care if the word says there's only one church. I don't care if the word says that you must be baptized in order to be saved. Mom wasn't baptized. Dad wasn't baptized, so therefore I'm not going to get baptized. Wow, what a way to live, isn't it? What a way. What will I do? With what do I compare myself? God's standard of others. God said, I can't do that. But come on now. You know, the law has changed. God said, I can't. But man says, I can. Who are you going to trust? Man or God? Well, I've never seen God. Well, you see this man right here. How many times did he let you down? And when you look up and the clouds are black and the lightning is flashing and you hear the thunder and the rain begins to come down, can you say, man did that? Can't do it, can you? God did it. We need to trust in Him, His standard. And then lastly, again, do I search for someone to tell me what I want to hear? They're out there. They're out there. If you want to hear a certain thing, there's somebody out there that's going to tell you. How do I look? Oh, you look good. How do I look? Oh, you look great. How do I look? That one person that does not, you know, you'll search for all these other people to tell you how you look, and they've always told you what you want to hear. But that one person said, hey, you need to change what you got on. You need to change your hairstyle. You need to change your makeup. You need to go to the gym a little bit more. You know, those are the people that we need to consider our friends. When God's word says, as we look into the perfect law of liberty, when we see ourselves in sin, we change. We don't forget what we have seen. We change. But there are those people that said, you okay. You don't have to, you know, you're in an adulterous relationship. You're in a marriage that you should not be in. And people say, oh, how long you been married to them? 15 years. Are you all right? I'm pretty sure God is going to overlook that come judgment. 15 years does not compare to an eternity in hell. Amen. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. You know, we talk about it all the time. And we give you book, chapter, and verse what the Bible says. And people again say, that's not for me. That's not for me. Well, what is for you? What is for us? God's word is for us, and it's for us to obey. Are you willing today to obey God's word? The question again, am I honest? Am I honest? A lot of people, you know, again, there's one certain man that called the radio station. Well, there were several, actually. And they just blatantly come straight out. You're liars, you know. A bunch of liars. Okay, let's open up the book. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Ring, 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 ring. Go ahead, call you on the air and more Bible talk. You a liar. What did I lie about? Baptism does not save. That's what they say. Reading scripture. The law was for the Jews. Ring, ring. You on the air and more Bible talk. You a liar. Does that make any sense? So we ask the question, am I honest? When we read scripture, are we honest with what we say, what we think, what we do? Are we honest? If we're not honest, we need to change. Why? Because a dishonest person is not going to make it into heaven. A dishonest person is not going to make it in. Are you willing today to change your life? Are you willing to accept the truth? Or are you going to pass the test? Marching through the woods on maneuver. We're marching, and we get to this sign, and all you can see is the back of the sign. And you cross over, and it says that you have, it's an NBC area. So what have you done? Is it too late to clear and don your protective mask? That's the first thing that we want to do. You've already been in the area. Yeah, go ahead and clear and done, but you need to get to a place where you can be decontaminated, a place where you can get checked out. In the end, when you die, you give up the ghost and you're buried, it's too late. It is too late. For the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You can't change what you've already done. You cannot change it. Only now can you change it. So we need to be aware of our surroundings. We need to understand once we enter into a contaminated area, the only thing that's going to save us is that we have on our protective gear, the whole armor of God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God. But with this whole armor, if we're not doing or acting the way we should, we're still going to fail. So we need to stay in prayer. Stay in prayer that we may remain faithful unto the Lord unto the very end. Amen. If you're here and you're not a child of God, I hope that something has been said to make you think about your life. I hope that you have been pricked, and I hope that you have been pricked to the point of wanting to come to this evening, and not just wanting to, but come this evening to be obedient unto the gospel, having your sins washed away in the watery grave, rising to walk a newness of life and being an example to everybody you come in contact with. When your friends look at you, they can say, something has changed about you. Yes, you're absolutely right. I am now a child of God. I have changed, and I want to encourage you to change. I'm allowing my light to so shine before men that they may see my good works, that you too may be able to glorify the Father who is in heaven. See, are you willing? Are you willing? The invitation is yours. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away from the fold. We're asking you not to stay away, but to come back. Come back to the fold, for tomorrow is not promised unto no one. James says your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. We don't want to get that call. Oh, you know, oh, sister such and such, we still consider her our sister. Oh, brother, so we still consider him our brother, has died away from God. Sorry to hear that. You know, I talked to him on several occasions. I tried to encourage him to come back to the fold, but he has died. I told you about the lady that was on her deathbed in the emergency, in ICU, and there we talked with her, and she lay there, and we said, would you like to get your life in order? Would you like to repent of your sins, confess your faults? She said, I'm okay. How? You okay with going to hell? She said, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. What can we do? We can pray for her, but if she's not willing to confess her faults, shame on her. Shame on her. Hell is going to be, it's not going to be a lonely place. I just want you to know that right now. But it's going to be a sad place, a place where you and I should not want to go. Let's do what God desires, and let's get our lives in order. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.